Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern, and I have a great show for you today because it deals with the health of our cats and what's more important than that. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Dr. Heather Davis. She is a DVM, and she is the Director of Clinical Affairs and Veterinary Services for Pegasus. And Pegasus is a company that is under PBI Gordon, which they're the maker of lots of wonderful medications for your cats. So welcome, Dr. Heather, to the show.
Thank you, Michelle, for such a warm welcome. I'm looking forward to talking with you today.
So am I. So we talked about a bit about your company, but we're really going to focus on something that is pretty common, more common than you would think in cats, and that's HCM, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy.
Yeah, very good. Okay. It's a mouthful. No, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, unfortunately, you're right, affects a lot of cats. About 1 in 7 cats has the disease. And what's really been kind of sad and frustrating for veterinarians is this disease is known as a silent killer in, our feline patients. And it's because the cats don't present with anything wrong with them until the disease is so far progressed that the cats are actually having pretty serious side effects. And so getting the cat seen and looked at early on is so important.
Okay. What would you say as to why this is so common in cats, more common than we would imagine?
So that's a great question. And there's a couple different factors. The disease process in some of the breeds, like Ragdolls and Sphinx and Maine Coon, we know that there is a genetic link to the disease process. But we also know that there's other populations of our feline kitties that something is wrong with their heart muscle. And so that heart muscle tends to just start working in a really kind of abnormal way. It works too hard, actually. And the muscle itself gets pretty stiff and enlarges. And when it does that, it causes the left side of the heart, the muscle, to get thicker. And then when it gets thicker, it takes up space in the left ventricle. And so it decreases the heart's ability to fill and then ultimately pump blood out to the rest of the cat's body.
Okay. And of course, it's heart disease. For people, you think of heart disease, and yes, there's certain physical, features to your body and genetics, but stress. And I wouldn't associate heart disease with cats because, I mean, they're the most chill creatures around, right? They sleep like 18 hours a day and they're pretty mellow. So you think of heart disease and go, whoa, but it's genetic. So would you say it's more genetic than not?
We do know right now, as you know, medicine is always evolving, right? And so what we've been able to tell in those specific breeds, there's a genetic component to it. And we're in the process of identifying it better so that we can diagnose it in these cats as far as that genetic component a little bit easier and faster. But in the rest of the population, it can be an abnormality of this, the heart muscle itself. And you're right, the fact is that because, kitties, they sleep all day or they're more relaxed or they hide away, and it's harder for them, the pet parents, to detect if there is something wrong with their kitties, which makes it even more complicated with this disease process.
Okay, thanks. And you hit on something else, and we talk about this, I've talked about this pretty frequently on Cattitude, but it's one of those things you can not tell cat parents enough. Cats are stoic creatures. I experienced this with Dennis when he had crystals in his urine. Very different to what we're talking about here. But I didn't know how bad off he was until he started to make this like an owl like sound, like not like a meow, like a blowing a rat. It was a weird sound. So he was in pain. But one place wanted to put him down. And I said, no, we're not doing that. And so I went to the vet. It was like Saturday after or Sunday afternoon or something. And so then I went to the vet Monday and he had to have surgery, this whole thing. But I wasn't even aware. So what is your view on that? Because it's really hard to tell when our cats aren't doing well. So what do you as to pet parents, because a lot of times you're like, oh, they're fine. They don't have to go to the doctor, you know, to see the vet.
So one of the easiest things that a pet parent can do is, well, their kitty is sleeping, is to count the number of breaths that their kitty is taking and to time it. And what we're looking for is a cat should breathe while they're sleeping 30 times. Anything less than 30 is a normal resting breath rate. And if they do that, then they can kind of track whether or not it's abnormal. So if your kitty is sleeping and you count the number of breaths they take in a minute, and if it's greater than 30, then they should definitely take their kitty into the vet and get it looked at. That's something that we have learned over the last few years as HCM has become more popular as far as getting the genetic tests and finding what diagnostics will help confirm the disease. But what the pet parent really can do is count the breaths while they're sleeping and keep track of it, because those are good indications that there might be something going on.
That is fantastic information. I've never heard that. A breath test to check their heart. So do you find in your experience that there's challenges out there because there's so much information with the internet, and then there's telemed, which this is nothing against telemed, but there's so many opportunities for pet parents to get wrong information. So do you see this all the time? I would find it, if I was a veterinarian, pretty discouraging, just because people would come in and self-diagnose themselves. They're probably doing that for their cats.
Right. So sometimes I feel like my work associate is Dr. Google. And I think that we have to be very careful with that. And with this particular disease, if a pet parent were to say, notice that their cat was breathing greater than 30 breaths per minute, the best thing they can do is go into the veterinarian. We can't stress that enough, because that veterinarian, one of the other steps that the veterinarian needs to take in order to be able to diagnose it is to listen to the kitty's heart. Kitties, like you said, you know, are they're very stoic and they're quiet. They're also very variable when they go places as far as what kind of physical exam findings that they will have. And so you really want to get them into the clinic to allow that veterinarian to do a couple of things. Number one, listen to their heart, and they're going to listen to see if there's a heart murmur. This particular disease has a particular murmur that's very, very common that a veterinarian can hear. And so you want them to be able to hear it. But also the veterinarian needs to get some blood work. And that way, there's a lot of things that can be checked off the list. I'm sure when your kitty was sick, they ran blood work on it as well, just to double check it. And so getting into the clinic to allow a veterinarian to really do a very thorough physical exam, be able to, you know, start working through some of the diagnostics is important.
Yeah, so it seems so. So what happens to, you know, what can the pet parent expect if they did the breath test, they took their cat to the veterinarian, and they unfortunately get the diagnosis that their cat has HCM? Is it treatable, livable? Is it like, it's not the end of the world, right? Hopefully their cat can be treated. Do they need surgery?
So I think right now it is so important, especially with the breath test, knowing about it and advocating for it, is getting the cats into the veterinarian as early as possible in this disease process. That way, when the cat does come in, they can start, you know, they can get blood work and evaluate the overall body system of the cat. This particular diagnosis sometimes is not super straightforward. And so veterinarians will have to rule out other causes that can, you know, almost act like this disease. And so working through those different diagnostics, you know, getting the blood work, taking a chest x-ray, ultimately, you know, depending on how it is presenting, getting an echocardiogram, which is an ultrasound of the heart, is the definitive way to be able to diagnose it. And then if you diagnose it early, then it allows the veterinarian to make choices as far as medications that can help the cat and hopefully, you know, facilitate prolonging the disease process and intervening there earlier. Unfortunately, you know, because the cats are stoic and they're not going to probably relay those clinical signs that there is a problem. What's been an issue in veterinary medicine is that a pet parent will leave for work one day, and then when they come home, then the kitty is really, really sick and they don't know why. So really getting in and having those screening veterinary appointments where the doctor can get a baseline and to get an idea and intervene early is key.
Okay, good to know. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Dr. Heather about HCM, which is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in cats, which is more common than you would think. So, Dr. Heather, so let's say we took our cat to the vet, did the testing, and found out, unfortunately, the cat has HCM and it was caught early enough. What should the pet parent expect to do? Is it just treat with medicine? You know, usually you get a diagnosis about heart disease and it's shocking.
So you're right, it is shocking. And up until recently, there wasn't a treatment option for these kitties. What was available for treatment were products that treated the kitties when they got more sick and the heart disease became more aggressive and the kitties were more compromised. And recently, in the last few months, a product has been approved that allows them, the veterinarian, an opportunity to intervene earlier to be able to actually treat it or manage the disease process. So that is, veterinary medicine is progressing, but again, getting them in there to be screened early on allows that opportunity for a product that is designed to help manage the disease to have time to be active and not just rely on the disease progression and then maintaining the animal's quality of life due to a really sad disease.
Okay, thank you. Let's talk a little about how medication is progressing in veterinary medicine. You mentioned that there was a newer medication approved for HCM. You know, for people, there's a lot of clinical testing, trials, and all of that. How are clinical trials set up for cats? Just kind of a basic, because I'm curious.
Sure. So I think the first thing that pet parents should know is that when a drug product says on a carton or on a bottle that it's been approved by the FDA, it means that that manufacturer has gone through the same rigorous standards to prove both safety and efficacy as a human drug does in order to get FDA approval. And so some people think that, oh, I bet you animal drugs aren't held to the same standard as, say, big pharmaceutical or human pharmaceutical companies are held to in order to make drugs for humans. And that's not true. It's the same rigorous standards. And so companies like the company I work for were held accountable to by the agency to make sure that the product that we develop is not only going to work in the pets, but it's going to be absorbed how it's supposed to be in order to treat and manage a disease, but it's also going to be safe for use. And I think that's very, very important for pet parents, that when you do have a sick animal, like kitties that have hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, and you're going to medicate them, you want them to be on a product that you know is going to be safe and will help them.
Of course. What are your thoughts on alternative medicine for cats?
So I think that alternative medicine, you mean as far as like laser therapy or acupuncture? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, and I've had all kinds of things, herbs, smelling herbs, even chakra therapy for cats.
Right. I think it's a great question. And I think multimodal therapy is always something as practitioners we should consider because as kitties are very complex animals, there's a lot of different things that, bringing all aspects of treatment, I think is important. What I do think, though, we have to keep in mind is sometimes those herbs can interact with traditional medicine. And so if your pet parent is administering an herb to a kitty for treatment for that multimodal therapy, it's so important to let your veterinarian know that you are administering that, because they can do a search and make sure that there's not going to be any interactions. Because even if it is an herb, sometimes they can alter how other products are absorbed. And so just letting them know, hey, this is part of my at-home treatment plan, so that the vets can double check that it's not going to negatively impact a traditional medicine.
That's a great answer. And I was thinking of something that's very popular these days is CBD oil for pets.
Yeah. And I think with CBD oil, as with anything, we always have to be really careful, because if products that are not manufactured in facilities or that are compounded, they're not held to the same standard as products that are regulated by the FDA. You know, drug companies like the company I work for, or human drug food companies, or people that manufacture out of facilities that are regulated by an agency, it means that that agency comes in regularly and they check your work. They make sure that there's nothing harmful that's in your product, that you have tests that are in place that make sure that nothing harmful is getting into the products that are being administered to any of the animals, but also to make sure that when you pick up a tablet or you pick up an oil, that when you look at the label and it says in each drop of oil or in each tablet, there's this much product, be it a drug or an oil, that there's actually that much product available. Because, you know, when your animal is sick, you want to make sure that the medication, be it herbal supplements or if it's a drugs, that it is that you are administering the amount that is supposed to be there. And without being held to standards, it's hard to say that's true. And when you're pet has a bad disease such as HCM, you don't want to take that chance.
Right. Misdiagnose or miscalculating dosage.
Yeah, exactly.
So with HCM, so let's say, you know, your cat's diagnosed, it's not the end of the world, it was caught early, your cat can go on medication. What is the life of the cat after the diagnosis and treated? So how does the life change?
I wish I had a better answer for you. Each cat is dependent on itself as far as, number one, when in its disease process was it diagnosed? The earlier you can catch it and intervene, the better. But that how aggressively that disease progresses is each cat's own journey. And unfortunately, now that we know what to look for and we know what to be on guard for and what to evaluate, it will help us as veterinary medicine to be able to give you a better answer. But unfortunately, right now, all we can say is that early intervention, early screening is one of the best things that you can do as far as to hopefully slow that progress. But that cat's own body is going to determine the rate in which that disease gets worse.
Right. And no two cats are alike.
No two cats are alike. Nope.
Okay. So, Dr. Heather, what would you tell our listening audience as far as how they should be proactive in taking care of their cat's health and watching medications and so forth?
So I think in reference to hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, what I would recommend to your listeners would be, the next time your kitty's asleep on your lap, is set a timer. check its sleeping breath rate. And what you want to see is anything less than 30. If it's over 30, the next morning is ring your veterinarian, give them a call, let them know that you want to get them into the office and have them screened and have a good physical exam going on. And I think the other thing that I would say is when your kitties are sick and if there is a problem, if it's heart disease or not, it is so important to be aware as far as what you're giving them. Communicate with your veterinarian if you're using multimodal therapy. But when you're buying products and you're using it, using products that are FDA approved and come from manufacturers that are held to the standards that are required in order to get drugs approved, is really very, very important for the safety and efficacy of the product in your animal.
Dr. Heather, thank you so much. You've given us some great information on HCM. So here's something I'd like to ask, as you know, you're a practicing veterinarian. What are some of your peeves when you are in the office? This is your chance to vent that drive you crazy that pet parents do.
I guess the Dr. Google thing is probably, I think most veterinarians would probably answer that, because we always brace for impact when pet parents say that. But we know it's the reality, right? We live in a digital age where everybody is Googling. And I guess what I would always say is, you know, if you're Googling something and you're trying to diagnose something on your own, you know, you want to make sure it's a reliable source, but just don't go with the first thing that comes up on that engine search. And if you have questions, take them to your veterinarians. Yes, that we might cringe a little bit when you say that, but I would much rather you ask me the question than or go on your own and we can work through a problem together. And I think across the board, most veterinarians would say that is, I'd rather you ask, but I do cringe a little bit because it means that you've done probably a lot of hard investigative work and I'm going to have to probably change that narrative a little bit potentially. But then there's other ones that come in with great sources. So that's probably my biggest pet peeve. Is that
okay? Anything in particular other than that pet parents do that you're just like, oh geez? Because I wonder from the veterinary point of view, if you ever go and, you know, see a new patient or someone's coming in and you're like, oh, I cannot believe this.
So this is going to sound funny, and this is probably more relevant for dog owners, because I don't think most cat owners probably do this, but giving your dog a bath and bringing it into the clinic wet. And because then I smell like your wet dog the rest of the day. And so I know that, like I said, that's probably not relevant to your listening audience, but it's okay if your puppy is dirty and they've been playing. That means that they're living a full life. And I would much rather, you know, dust off some hair than be wet and sticky and things like that. So that, like I said, that's probably not relevant to you.
It's true, but it's kind of like, you know, yes, you want to take your shower yourself before you go to the doctor because you're probably going to be wearing a paper nightgown. Not the same for your doggy. So, or cats, just let them be. All right. Well,
right.
Dr. Heather, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude and telling us about HCM.
Thank you so much, Michelle, for having me. I very much enjoyed this.
Me too. And I've learned a lot. I hope you all enjoyed the show. I sure did. I want to thank Dr. Heather Davis for giving us such great information about feline HCM. I'd also like to thank the listeners of Catitude. Thank you so much for your loyalty all these years. I greatly appreciate it. Thanks to my cat crew, who I will be listening to your breath while you're sleeping now to try the breath test. So thank you guys, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly, for being the great cats you are. And of course, thank you to my amazing producer for doing such a great job and making all the shows, especially mine, sound wonderful. Thank you, Mark. You guys have no idea what a great editor he is. He's fabulous. So thank you so much for all your work, Mark. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.